Hey everyone, before we get started, just a reminder to go over to iTunes, rate and review the podcast. Ratings and reviews over there really help boost listens. So if you have a chance, go over there and do that. And also dfsr.com/MLB will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab, optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. All right, full Friday in baseball. Let's get it on. All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Tuesday, August 8th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James
Davis. And we are going to be breaking down a Tuesday in baseball. Buddy, you said you wanted to start the pod, though, by talking about the price of Bitcoin. Is that really what you wanted to do, or do you want me to move on?
No, just wanted to brag about the price of Bitcoin being $3,400. If you don't know about Bitcoin, Google it. That's all.
Yeah, that was the I did see a tweet the other day. I can't remember who tweeted it. But it was actually someone in the DFS community, and I'm gonna have to go back and look. But it was something along the lines of like, rarely does like a bunch of like sort of like outliers and scufflaws. That I remember the word scufflaw because that was okay, which made my attention to it. Scufflaws make like some kind of like not like weird like, you know, anti-society bet, and it just pays off by like 1,000x or something like that. And I was like, yeah, that's up. He didn't seem mad about it, but it was just an interesting thing. It's like rarely does this kind of thing happen like on such a huge financial level. But yeah, Bitcoin.
I first heard about Bitcoin when it was 27 cents, and now it's $3,400. I did not buy any at 27 cents, so let's get that off the table right away. Because yeah, I probably wouldn't be on this podcast had I bought it at 27 cents. But you know, that's life, man.
All right. Well, so there's your daily Bitcoin update. We'll just make that a new segment where we just tell everyone the price of Bitcoin.
It's the crypto minute. It's very relevant to our audience.
Ethereum, not quite the same. All right. We are going to break down a full Tuesday in baseball as my throat starts to give way after all that hot cryptocurrency talk. There's two great pitchers on the slate. I suspect people on FanDuel are going to be spending time thinking, do I want to play Chris Sale or do I want to play Corey Kluber or do I want to try splitting between them? They're basically the same price. They're both great. On FanDuel, you can only choose one guy. Like, do you have a way you're leaning here? Is it like kind of just split down? It's like too close to call. I'm only bringing these two guys up because it's so obvious that there's really no one else close to their level that's pitching today. Do you have a firm way you're leaning one way or the other with Sale or Kluber?
Yeah, I'd probably lean Sale, I think. The Rays this season have been dramatically worse against left-handed pitching, which is interesting considering there's guys like Longoria that are a lot better against left-handed pitching. But they're not good at all against lefties. They also possess the league's second highest K rate against left-handed pitching. So taking those two factors together, I think the matchup is a little stronger. Obviously, like Kluber against Colorado out of Coors, not so bad itself and a perfectly fine spot in its own right. But I think the strikeout upside on Sale is easily double digits plus, and the matchup with Pruitt, he is a heavy favorite right now. So yeah, all those factors taken combined, I give the slight nod to Sale, though I could be talked out of it if anything changes.
I think it's, for me, I mean, our system slightly prefers him. It's really, really close. It's like less than a point overall in projection, at least on FanDuel for Sale here. Their money lines
DraftKings wants both of them, so...
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I was gonna go to that in a second, but right now, if you look at their money lines, Kluber's at -230, Sale's at like -200. Their implied runs are right in that same range, like right in this like 2.9 area. Which, man, is it so? That's so low. Like, you really don't get implied runs. Well, you never get two guys in the same slate that have this kind of implied runs against. And really, you only get it when like there's like four pitchers in the league that can warrant. And one of them's hurt right now in Kershaw. But there's just so few guys that are just this dominant and that other teams just struggle so much against. I think, you know, like I said, our system on FanDuel slightly prefers Sale. My guess is you see their ownership basically like split down the middle at 50-50 or like 40-40 with like another 20% just pivoting somewhere else and just trying to maybe fade both. That's such a weird thing to be able to do, I think. But I put them firmly in coin flip territory. Now, you mentioned on DraftKings, they take up 50% of your salary cap. That would be, for our system's purposes, the most money allocated to the two starting pitcher slots on the season. I cannot remember allocating this high of a percentage. Do you think that's correct?
I think it is, honestly. Like, they both have such strong matchups and they're both so damn good. I mean, Sale, I guess, like, in a lot of ways, he kind of needs no introduction at this point this season. He's been, you know, if not the best pitcher in the majors, one of the top two or three. But I think people are kind of sleeping on Kluber a little bit, maybe even myself included. Like, 9 of his last 10 games have double-digit strikeouts. That's just not the type of run. So even if you compare him to a guy like Sale, Sale only has double-digit strikeouts only in 7 of his last 10 games. You know, like, he's just been on this completely ridiculous run. Again, it's a good matchup against Colorado. I think if you can find the little pieces to make it all work, they're both heavy, heavy favorites with very low implied totals, almost identical peripherals on the season now at around 12.5 Ks per 9 and 2 walks per 9. They're both just kind of gods with good matchups, and we know we always want one on DraftKings, but and it's always hard to make two fit, but I think if you can fit in the pieces around it, which I think you'll be able to do on a full slate tonight, then I think it's probably worth taking the risk.
Kluber was a pretty chalk start last time he pitched. It was the night where he and Alex Wood both pitched in the same night.
We took Wood, as I recall.
Yeah, well, Wood on FanDuel and Kluber on DraftKings. So it was like it wasn't 100% Alex Wood there. But I do think because he was such a high percentage start last time and then just pitched a complete game with double-digit strikeouts, you will see. Like, I think that's the thing where I think that people aren't probably going to be sleeping on it. I think the ownership was already high in him in a matchup that was not significant, much worse than the one he has tonight. So, 25,000 for two pitchers. I think it's also just because the drop-off after these guys, and the drop-off is always going to be pretty severe, but the drop-off after them to the next level of pitchers who just, like, aren't cheap. So, like, you can think about pivoting to a guy like Keuchel or Quintana, but I mean, Keuchel's 1400 less and Quintana's 2000 less. For our purposes here, I just don't think that you're seeing enough savings. Like, we would put those two guys as like the next tier, but maybe Godley too, but like the next tier below these two guys, right? You don't think you get enough savings from either of those two, do you?
Nah, probably not. I mean, I'm tempted to go Keuchel. Like, I would be much more tempted to go Keuchel if either of the big two had a bad matchup. I still think people are sleeping on him a little bit. I know it's been back-to-back bad starts. But as I reminded someone last night, one of our loving chatters, who I actually really appreciate his perspective on things, but he just wouldn't stop typing Carlos Martinez, 24 earned runs in his last 36 innings. And to that, I always like to respond, well, what if we went to his last 45 innings then, or his last 71 innings? Like, why? Like, if you're going to choose arbitrary endpoints, you're going to get burned. I think that's the case with Keuchel here too. Like, yeah, the last two starts haven't been good, but the last four starts, he's had two ace level starts, right? Like, two.
Were before the injury though.
True. So coming back from injury, that's a really good point.
So sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
But does that change your opinion then on him? Because his two starts before the injury were fine, but then he took a month and a half, he took almost 2 months off. And then he's come back and pitched a total of 8 innings in 2 games. Now, one of those probably was some pitch count stuff, but and I think both of them were pitch count, because I think he got pulled kind of early against Tampa Bay. But like 5 strikeouts in 8 innings, 6 earned runs. I mean, does the injury thing, knowing that, does that change your mind even more?
It does, yeah. That honestly had fallen off my radar. Just simply forgot. So, yes, forget everything I said.
Well, I will say too, though. One thing I actually don't hate Keuchel. The White Sox are a very good matchup here. They stink. Keuchel did get a little dinked and dunked last game against Tampa Bay. I did make the mistake of watching that game, and a lot of he allowed 7 hits. I believe 5 of them were singles, and like 4 of those singles were infield, basically infield singles, right? So like it wasn't like he was getting just lasered all over the park. He allowed a home run, and I think he allowed a double that kind of cost him like in just like bad timing. But he wasn't pitching too bad. It's just like the K rate's so low. The White Sox.
Well, really with Keuchel too. Like the question is going to be, and you're right for bringing this up, can we trust the innings pitched? You know, like our baseline projection right now, just so that if you took our projection and extrapolated over the course of the whole season, would have him around 6.5 innings pitched. Is that a realistic number for a guy who hasn't pitched that many innings for a while and is, as you pointed out again, just pitching poorly and injured, or was injured?
No, I wouldn't, it's not enough to trust. And it definitely, if he was like 9,000, I think we'd be having a serious talk about it, just because the savings would represent enough that you could, you know, fit in some more just quality bats, which you might struggle with a little bit on DraftKings because their pricing is pretty tight when it comes to the bats. That being said, for our system, again, this early in the day, if it's showing Kluber and Sale this early in the day, that's not going to change, right? The bats only get cheaper as, yeah, you know, guys kind of jump up to the top of the lineup. There are a number of bad pitchers here that you can kind of target some cheaper bats again. So I'm not really thinking that's going to – I don't think from a cash game perspective that's going to change at all. I mean, I suppose, again, now we're strictly talking tournaments. And again, I don't even think for the price savings you see, I don't think Keuchel even represents having any upside as compared to the two other guys, considering how much savings you get. A little closer with Quintana. Quintana's 2,000 cheaper. He faces a San Francisco team that's obviously just kind of going nowhere fast. What do you think about Quintana? Any interest there at all?
Yeah, a little bit of interest. I'll transfer all my interest in Keuchel. I'm not interested in Keuchel anymore. I do think it's a good matchup. I think that if you give him a more realistic innings target, like something like six innings, he just kind of falls off the radar. But Quintana is interesting. He's a guy this season who has translated, you know, what always seemed to be pretty good stuff, finally into elite K rates. We brought this up before, but him touching almost 10 Ks per nine this season, yeah, he's added some walks, but the net has been a benefit in his overall game. And I think he still does possess that same control that he's had in the past, but he's just not, like, he's erring on the side of getting swings and misses rather than erring on the side of throwing strikes, and I think that's a fine payoff for him. I love him here, just getting him out of Wrigley Field, sending him out into San Francisco is obviously going to make one of his biggest bugaboos, which is the home run ball, kind of be less of an issue. The 1.3 home runs per nine this season have really caused him a lot of problems, and he's actually run a little bit bad in terms of home run to fly ball, but yeah, being a lefty going into San Francisco will benefit him quite a great deal. So I think there's a lot of upside here. You know, the Giants, year in, year out, be one of these teams that are fairly hard to strike out, bottom five in the league in terms of strikeouts against lefties, but I still think there is some upside just based on the price, the fact that the win is fairly likely, and the fact that he's just a more striking out in pitcher than he used to be.
Yeah, no, more striking out in pitcher. Yeah,
more striking out in pitcher is my grandpappy used to say out in Iowa. You know?
It's a pro term. Yeah, no, and I think after the list after these guys gets pretty grisly pretty fast. I mean, you have guys like
good for bats, but
well, yeah, well, just real quick, just to knock some of the reasoning off with some of these guys. Godley is a terrible matchup against the Dodgers. You kind of don't want to go there. Teheran and Waka have just kind of been meh, with Teheran being closer to ugh. Than meh, but
are we just describing the sounds we make when we see these pitchers?
You don't love Hap here against a Yankees team that kind of has a top of the lineup there, and then Maeda just doesn't simply pitch enough innings. And after that,
we're against at Arizona. I mean, we're fully off the cliff in like the Ty Black Parker Bridwell territory. So it's over, baby. There's no more pitchers you can consider. It's going to be an interesting night.
And that's why I think that you're going to see, like I said, the two questions the question people wrestle with is who to play on FanDuel. I think that is something that people will struggle with and then feel like they made the wrong choice after they hit submit lineup, no matter which way they go, and then whether or not to spend all that money on DraftKings. And I think it is appropriate. So let's get into some stacks because there are some terrible pitchers here. Before we do that, though, hit us up with a sponsor, and then we'll, after our great sponsor, we'll run down a list of some absolute gas cans that are taking the mound.
Sure, let's take a look at nohalftime.com. Nohalftime.com, and by the way, they're working on a new project that we're going to be sponsoring as well coming up soon. It's going to be called Squad, where you can manage all of your different fantasy teams from one device, but it's a little press release there. It's not live yet, it's not released yet, but it looks really slick. I've seen some of the wireframes in the background and some of the mockups and whatnot, and I think it's going to be a really exciting app for people who get sick of just clicking all over the world. But for now, we'll talk about No Halftime. No Halftime is a great app for DFS players if you want to have a much simpler contest, which is to say you pick a player, you pick someone you think your guy's going to outperform, and then you issue that challenge to the world for any amount of money you see fit. So you like Kluber over Dallas Keuchel? Well, you issue a $50 challenge to the world and see if any sucker out there will take it. And you can also go around and see what challenges other people have issued, probably more fair ones than Kluber v. Keuchel, but you get the idea. So nohalftime.com, use promo code DFSR25, and you can get a $25 bonus up to your $25 deposit. So check them out and tell them we sent you.
Yeah, great stuff for No Halftime. Looking forward to the new stuff they're bringing to the landscape. It's always fun when people are innovating. It makes just DFS in general more fun. It makes following sports more fun. And so it's always good when people are just, I don't know, pressing the envelope. Okay, so we have some teams here today facing some real bad pitchers. I'm laughing because the list is pretty long. But we'll start with a team that has the most implied runs, and that's the Astros. The Astros are facing Derek Holland. They traditionally on the season have been pretty expensive team because guys like Springer and Correa have sucked up a lot of just salary just because they've been good for most of the season. Those guys are gone. They have shifted the lineup around a little bit. Altuve, who you simply cannot get out, is hitting leadoff. It looks like they're going to have Bregman hit second here against the lefty, and then guys like Marwin Gonzalez and Gurriel move up the lineup. Do you see them as the top stack here just from I mean, they're a little expensive, so it's hard to fit all of them, but is the matchup here just too good that you just want to, you're trying to get a lot of Astros in here? You see yourself spreading it around a little bit more?
I think you're going to have to spread it around, especially, I mean, on DraftKings, if you're going to go double expensive at pitcher, or even on FanDuel, if you go up at pitching, which you probably should for cash game purposes, it's going to be tough to get a lot of Astros here, maybe outside of like Brian McCann or Yuli Gurriel or or someone like that. But actually, I think this makes an interesting case for playing a guy like Quintana in big tournaments, because unlike the old days where basically all of your upside came from getting the best overall pitcher, like if you didn't get the highest scoring raw points total pitcher, it was hard to catch up because batters didn't score as many runs. But in an age where a batter can put up 40 points if everything breaks perfectly, that's kind of changed. And I think that you will see a lot of people kind of taking a stab on getting some Astros in there, maybe going Quintana on less raw points overall, but, you know, better points per dollar, and then putting guys like Altuve in. Because I'll tell you what about Derek Holland. This guy gives up a ton of home runs. 2.08 home runs per 9 innings over 112 innings is really nuts. Like, that's really, really hard to do. He's also walking everybody. He's not striking anyone out. The Astros feature many good right-handed bats that can absolutely crush a guy like Holland. So it's a very, very tempting spot, although I don't think you're going to be able to afford it for cash games.
I like the idea, at least on FanDuel, if I'm going to pick a guy to pay up for here tonight, Altuve would be the guy. Second base position, not always the strongest. He's just like kind of the perfect. From a hitter's perspective, there's few other guys that are as safe as him just because the contact rate. He can steal bases. He can kind of just do anything for you.
He feels like a favorite to bat 1,000 for me here. But right. I could be wrong there. Could be wind up on the under, but we'll see.
No, but his just in terms of his expectation compared to price. So I think if there was a guy that I was going to pay up for here for cash game purposes, it would be him. I don't know. Guys like – even like if you can even dip down to the bottom of their lineup here if you're looking for savings just because you are going to need some of that punt savings. Now, again, this is early in the day. Who knows who kind of – what random guy sort of hits lead off of some of these other teams we're going to mention, and that could change things. But, you know, guys like Tyler White and Mariznick, yeah, they hit down the bottom. Holland's just that bad, you know? Like, it's just fine. We've seen Mariznick put up power even from the 9 spot. I don't typically want to go that direction with just because the plate appearance expectation's so low. I would consider it here.
Yeah, I think if you're going to get 5 or 6 at-bats out of these guys, you can probably get the wraparound stack. And again, you know, on a big slate, you probably do need some separation from the field, and that's a fair way to get some.
After the Astros, some other teams you see in good spots today?
Sure. I mean, there's so many. So, like, my list, I actually just even stopped making my list at some point because I was like, well, realistically, we're not going to mention 15 different teams before we shut it all down. But a game I'd like to draw your attention to is the Orioles versus the Angels. I really like both sides of the pitching matchup here for opposing bats purposes, which is Helixson and Parker Bridwell. Bridwell and Helixson are interesting analogs for one another in a lot of ways because they both do the same thing, which is pitch badly. Both have sub-6 strikeouts per 9 with the edge going towards Helixson in terms of being a little bit worse. Both, you know, are pretty good control pitchers, so in some ways they can limit big innings by not giving up free passes. But the issue for both is just the insane home run rates. Again, like, both are over 1.5 home runs per 9, and it seems relatively sustainable on the back of the fact that they both give up a ton of fly balls. So, and not only fly balls, but hard hit fly balls. So both have ground ball rates under 39%, with Helixson at the absurdly low 35%. That's just too many balls in the air for people that don't strike people out. And while obviously, like, these teams aren't created equal in terms of their ability to hit right-handed pitching, you want to give the nod to the Orioles there. If you're just looking for stacks in a situation where a team can go off that might be a little bit less owned, like the Angels come to mind here, I think that you can do pretty well in terms of getting that separation while still accessing a team that arguably has the highest total run line upside of any team going tonight.
Yeah, no, and you get a bunch, at least on FanDuel, you get the top of their lineup outside of Trout really cheap. Maben is 2,600, Pujols 2,800, and Calhoun 2,900. And then, obviously, Trout's 5,100, and he's just probably under. He's so good, man. He had his 1,000th hit of his career last night. I think he was, like, the second fastest ever to get there. He hit a home run again last night. Like, any wrist injury problems that you thought were going to kind of crop up after he sat out for a while? Nope, not a problem. Guy's, like, some kind of other... It's like an X-Men or something like that. I don't know what he is, but, like, he's it's like some it's so weird, man. He's just so freaking good. It's just such a shame he's on this terrible team. Anyway, no, I'm totally with you. Angels in a great spot here, and especially like we said, they're just coming so cheap that actually they do work for cash games against a team like Helixson. Yeah. The only thing that keeps their run line down is that they stink, right? Like, they just can't, like, so, you know, we model some of our stuff off run lines, and Angel guys don't crop up into the top all the time because, you know, they have Trout, but then they have you look at the bottom of their lineup, these guys just aren't favorites to put up runs, and that does affect the top of the lineup's ability just to get back to the plate. Now,
well, even like Cameron Maben and Andrelton Simmons, like, not the ideal 1 and 5 hitters. Like, if Andrelton Simmons were on most teams and they were like, hey dude, you're going to be like batting in the heart of the order, he'd be like, who, me, coach? Like, really? Shouldn't I'm kind of a glove man, actually. I don't know if you knew that about me, but
There's no other team in the league that would have him hitting fifth. There's not many minor league teams that would have him hitting fifth. Like, it just doesn't it just doesn't really make any sense. A couple of the teams I have. No, I'm with you on that overall spot. Don't love the stadium. Like everything else about it. I don't mind the Brewers here against Adalberto Mejia. Brewers are a team that have shifted their lineup around some this season. They will probably hit Domingo Santana first. This is his much better side of the split. He's much better against lefties than righties, just for his career. They've moved Braun up in the lineup a little bit. Jesus Aguilar is a guy. Like, he's coming really cheap, $2,300 on FanDuel. If he's going to hit in the middle of the lineup, I do like the Brewer spot. Mejia, you know, he's another one of these like low strikeout, high walk. Well, the strikeouts aren't low, 7.5 per 9, but he walks more than 4 per 9, and that's over, you know, 86 total career innings, so it doesn't look like something that's going away. 5x FIP, Brewer's in a good spot. Then you move him out of their better hitter's park, so that kind of dumps them down just a tad, but not enough to like have me off of them. I really just like the platoon splits at the top of the lineup of those guys. Don't actually mind the Twins going the other direction here against Matt Garza, though. Their prices, man, you're right. The list of bad pitchers today is really damn long. But
keep going. I do like that spot quite a bit. I think you can also look over. I mean, I'm just going to start giving names out here because I don't know. Just in the interest of time, like, we just have our whole lives ahead of us, so I don't want to have this podcast go to 7 p.m., but just another whole game you can stack are the Texas-New York game. Like, Andrew Kashner this season has gone from being just a kind of generically bad pitcher to being one of the very worst in the majors, like Mike Pelfrey or worst level, down to 4.6 Ks per nine this season, Doug. That's just so low. That's like legitimately batting practice territory. Like, the pitcher at the home run derby, that's probably about how many Ks per nine he would get. And then when you pair that with 3.6 walks per nine, you're not even getting like the little bit of the rub you can get from Hellickson, where you're like, well, at least he'll throw strikes and maybe the line drives will find people's gloves. Kashner doesn't even really afford you that this season. And, you know, the Mets, while again not one of these conventional big home run teams, they do have some left-handed or switch hitting bats towards the top of that lineup that can do some damage. You know, if you get Conforto going, you get Bruce, you get Cabrera, who's a switch hitter, you can start to do a little bit of work if you're just trying to get like a 2 or 3 person stack. I don't know if you want to go too much deeper than that with the Mets, but it's still there. And then, if you didn't notice, the guy pitching for the Mets, his name is Chris Flexen, like as a joke name of a weightlifter or something like that. He's got 6 innings in the majors so far. Pretty auspicious debut with 12 ERA in that time. So he seemed reasonable in the minors, but he hasn't pitched above AA and was like definitely really good at AA, but he only has 48 innings at AA too. So I don't know how bullish anyone can be on a guy who started the season at high A ball. So
I will say that I do find some of the overall run lines or like Vegas implied run lines to be a little low today for what I thought they would be, considering just how many bad pitchers we have. Like, there aren't too many run lines, at least the way we're calculating them. And I always just double check this with some other outfits to do the same thing. But only like 3 or 4 teams that have implied runs over 5, which seems crazy considering the amount of teams we just mentioned here that are in just great spots. I don't know if it's like a weather thing. Like, temperatures are pretty low for this time of year. I mean, for like early August, there aren't many games that look like they're gonna be playing at 80 degrees or higher. Global warming my ass. But like, do you think like that has anything to do with it? I just feel like, just looking at this list of pitchers compared to where I thought we would see some of these run lines come in, they just do seem low. Like, the Mets are like at 4.7. that seems, against Kashner, that seems like not enough, but maybe it's correct. I'm not really sure.
Well, you know, I think the theme I heard coming out of our mouths just as we were describing all these teams are, yeah, there's a lot of really bad pitchers, but many of them don't have, you know, like absolute terrible matchups in terms of who they're facing batter-wise. So, yeah, the Mets this season, we're only broadcasting them projecting them for 4.8 runs, but on the season, they haven't scored that many runs per game, right? So it's like they're still in an advantageous spot. It's just that in the majors, it tends to be that no matter who you're facing, it's not going to double your expected run expectation or something, right? Like, baseball just doesn't kind of work that way. And so since a lot of these guys are facing teams like the Angels or pitching in Anaheim or, you know, pitching in San Francisco, a lot of these are going to kind of mitigate the overall upside the teams have on a run scoring basis. You know, another example of that is the Pirates facing Matt Boyd. Matt Boyd this season has been awful, like 6.7 Ks per nine, 3.6 walks per nine, and xFIP over 5. But it's the Pirates, you know, they only have a few good batters and then things fall off dramatically. So yeah, there's just a lot of spots like that. And I still think that there's plenty of upside there, but maybe it also makes sense that the team like the Astros that can legitimately hit would have such higher pricing, because man, it's there's a lot of options to have your cake and eat it too here.
Yeah, and one of the teams that I didn't mention that we do have for the second most overall implied runs is the Nationals today. We have them at 5.2 something or other, and yep, they're facing Vance Worley. They are a lineup that kind of just goes up and down in just in terms of can do damage pretty much all the way down to the sixth hole. Well, not Wilmer Defoe, but if we're depending on where he hits, they can do damage down to the sixth hole, even the seventh hole if Lind is hitting there. And actually, even Wieters isn't like the worst catcher in the whole world. So their prices have just come up. The only problem with them is they're just expensive. Guys like Harper are expensive. Murphy and Rendon are expensive just because they've been good for most of the season. Zimmerman is in the wrong side of a split here. So, you know, you get a Nationals team in a good matchup against a guy like Vance Worley, who's just kind of been around being bad for a long time. I guess he's not horrible, but he's definitely not good. They're the second most implied runs in the day, and I'm not even sure you get to them just because of pricing. All right, we're going to get out of here. Too many bad pitchers to name. Two great pitchers going on the mound that you're going to need to decide between, and not among. You want to do between with two, so between Sale and Kluber. DFSR.com/MLB will get you a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Coming down the pike here, that subscription will also get you all the great stuff that we're going to be releasing with football as well. Very excited. We put it all under one subscription blanket. We don't really section it off by sport or by provider like some places do. If we have it for members, you will have it too. Free for 3 days, $29.95 a month after that. Buddy, enjoy Bitcoin and the rest of your Tuesday.
Don't worry about me, man. I will.